No, he doesn't. He doesn't call really. One thing is like at home sometimes he likes to sit by me and stuff.
I forgot to tell you. Look for the House of the Reindeer. You could find it a lot easier if you couldn't remember where we were.
I always remember it.
Once you get to
once I see it, I know. Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
I'll look at some of the houses. And I'm like, hey, is it this one? This one? And then I just, oh no, that's the one.
Yeah, the one with the two reindeer that Mark and Tim last year took and put on top of each other as if they were humping. And I was like, my neighbors are going to see this. So I went out in the morning, I'm like, so I get out of my car, stop in the driveway, and take them off of each other. And I was like, I just killed them.
Those naughty boys.
But, no, he just, he's become more attached. And I think a lot of it is because a lot of his friends have now gotten married and have children. And he doesn't do as much with him. And I think that's why. But he has gotten so attached to me. And I've always been very independent. And a lot of it had to do with me growing up the way I did with my mother dying younger. And then living with my one aunt. And then my aunt died when I was 12. And then moving to another aunt, which was moving up here. And I've always had to go back and forth. I've always traveled on my own. I've always flown everywhere by myself. I've always done everything. I've had to deal with my father. I listened to my sister when my nephew started college, how she was saying she filled out all of his applications for where he was going, and she did all of these things when he had applied for a scholarship or whatever. She filled out everything, and I'm like, I did it by myself. You read the form, and you fill it out. Wow. No one did it for me, you know, and I was very much whatever I needed. I got my money from my father. He paid for school. But I did everything on my own. I didn't have anyone.
See, my parents weren't very, I don't know, they're not extremely educated and they're not really on top of things. And so when it came to things like that, they wouldn't know how to help me.
Really?
Yeah, they wouldn't, I mean, they had no clue. They didn't give me any suggestions of where to go to school. They said, oh yeah, go to school, we'll pay for it. We want you to go to school, but they had no idea of, you know, what's a good school, what's a bad school, you know, any type of direction. See, they didn't give me anything like that.
Yeah, and see, I feel that's one of the biggest setbacks. I say this with black youth today, is that because your generations in the past were not educated, you have a harder time deciding on what's a good school, what's a good curriculum for you to take. Your parents aren't able to talk to you about it. Just as you were saying, even though you're not black, but you're just saying that, but black children have that even more so.
Right.
Because you're more likely not to be have come from educated parents. Whereas I came from an educated family, it was just the fact they made us do everything on our own. And but black people also, those that have more, try to teach you to be stronger. But I think they instill try to make me so strong that they forgot that I was a person. And I mean, like, I often feel like at times that, and maybe it's the gayness coming out in me, but I don't like it. Like, when I was home, just went home to Indiana, I went to hug my sister, and I still feel that she finds a coldness in hugging.
She doesn't like to hug.
No, my family's not very much hugging. Oh. I mean, my whole life, we've never been very, you greet someone, you don't hug them. You're just like, hi, how are you? And even, like, male, female, you don't do it.
Yeah, my mother was like that more so. And then my father was different.
Very emotional, very hugging.
Very hugging. Very different. So my family is more, it's different. It's like each member of the family is slightly different. They have a different amount of touch.
I always said that if I had children, I would always, especially if I had a son, I would hug him just so he knew that I loved him.
Right. I think it's important. I think it's good. I don't think you can overly hug with family and stuff like that.
Yeah, see, and that's how I feel, is that I want to hug him because I want him to know that I do love him. Yeah. And that I want my children, if I ever had children, to know that there is nothing wrong with showing physical affection between two men. It doesn't make you gay.
Right.
You know, and that is one of the things that Kurt was saying yesterday. It really bothered me a lot because his nephew kept calling him Aunt Pete. Because, and his nephew was just being rude and obnoxious about every gift he unwrapped, and his brother said, oh, that's just the way kids are today. And I'm like, no, that's the way you train your kids. If you don't train your kids to be any better than they are, and see, in his family, like his brother, his older brother will say, oh, that's my best friend, but he'll tease me about, oh, why aren't you married? You know, you must be a fag, or this, and he'll laugh it off, and he doesn't realize, well, yeah, he is gay, and it hurts me.
He doesn't know he's gay?
Has no idea. This probably is going to drop him off, which is why I have to close those blinds soon. But it's the way he is, and his brother is just like that. And so he, and so his little boy is growing up the same way. He's 12, and he's like this big kid. He's overweight, and I told him, I said, well, I wouldn't take it personal because Pat was telling me this morning. I said, first of all, he's 12 years old. He's like 6'1", and he's fat. I mean, he's just probably a good 250 pounds.
He's
I said,
6'1", at 12?
At 12 years old.
That's scary.
And he's like 250 pounds. And I said, he's compensating for the fact. I said, I bet you the kids pick on him. I said, he's different. I said, so therefore, he probably is a big bully at school. And I said, so he's probably just like this kid who's just like real bitter because nobody, and I said, his dad is just a jerk. His brother will call our house and just, is just rude to people. But yet he'll turn around and ask me to borrow $5,000. I mean, like, he just borrowed $25,000 from me like 2 years ago and told me, oh, I'll give it back. I'm going to invest it. I'll give it back in 3 months. So he gives me, it takes him instead a year and a half to pay it back. Like, he's got $25,000 just to lay around like that, you know. And that's the way his brother is, you know, very, and he's just mean to me. He says things to me just like, oh, just awful things about gay.
Why
didn't
he say something?
Because he hasn't dealt with his gayness himself, and he hasn't dealt with who he is. Yeah. And that's why he doesn't say anything.
So you can't really blame the guy in the sense that he doesn't know he's hurt.
If he doesn't stick up for himself,
right,
then I keep telling him, you're going to have to say something, because all of these things are hurting you.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it doesn't bother me. And I'm like, then why are you talking about it? I said, if that would have been my nephew and he would have said that to me, I'd have knocked him across that chair. I don't care how big he was.
Oh, yeah.
I said, my nephews and nieces do not. One of the little girls tried pulling something on. We went shopping and tried a little attitude in the mall. And I grabbed her and I said, I don't care if you are my sister's child. I will knock you across that bitch. And I said, okay. I said, I don't have to take that. I said, you'll never go shopping with me again. And I just don't believe it. And I'm sorry. I was not hit as a child, but I also was not nasty like some kids know. He's right. They do talk bad. Some of the kids say things, but kids always do. But that's not an excuse.
Exactly.
Hello? Hello? What's wrong? Why? Why? Okay. All right. Well, yeah. If you don't have enough gas and you're worried that you're going to run out, I wouldn't go anywhere either. So why don't you call? I'll call you later on, okay? Bye. He's afraid that he's going to run out of gas getting over here.
Well, why didn't he get gas?
I don't know. He drove all the way back from Green Bay with just on that, and he thought he was going to, like, make it and somebody would be open. And I'm like, so he said it's past empty. It's past the E. And so he's afraid that he'll run out on his way over here, and he probably would.
Oh, I should just go to the gas station.
Well, there's one down the street from his house, but it'll probably be open tomorrow morning.
Oh.
It's not open now. So he said he'd just rather stay home instead. And I said, fine, go ahead, stay home. But I don't know. I really think that it's hard. It is hard having to hide this like he's doing. I couldn't hide it any longer than he is. He's hiding it way too long.
Yeah. No, I couldn't hide it that long. I told my mother when I, like, my boyfriend moved away.
Is that why you told her?
Yeah. So I was really upset. And she's like, well, it's a good thing he moved away. Because it was sort of offended. And I was really offended.
That's how she took it?
Yeah. And I was really offended because she said something like, well, it's a good thing he was sort of weird. I didn't like you hanging around. And I said, what do you mean he was weird? And she said, well, he was sort of effeminate. And I was like, well, what do you mean? He's gay or something? She's like, well, I think he might have been. And I said, well, why does that bother you? I said, because I am. And she's like, no, you're not. I know you. You're not gay. And I said, yes, I am. I said, how do you know me better than I know myself? And she's just looking at me, and she was, like, really upset.
Did she tell your dad, or did you tell your dad?
No. She ended up telling him, I think, eventually, but not right away. First thing, I had to go to see a psychiatrist.
Oh, she made you go do that?
Uh-huh. I went.
Oh, his mother told him that, too.
See, and then I went, and the guy's, like, really nice, and he's like, well, why are you here? Tell me what's going on. And I said, well.
How old were you at this time?
19.
And she says that's what a psychiatrist at 19. She didn't think you knew enough about yourself at that age.
Right. Well, she didn't want to believe it. Yeah. She can't blame him to some extent. So then I went to the psychiatrist, and he's like, well, what's the problem? And I said, well, my mother's upset because I'm gay. And he's like, well, it sounds like she has a problem then.
Did he really say that?
Yes, he said it sounds like she's the one with the problem. And I didn't even think about how I said it. I just said it, you know? And he interpreted how I said it as how it was. You know,
and you know what's
true.
Really funny is that a psychiatrist would say that and knowingly know that, you know, he accepted the fact that, yes, you are gay, and it is something that, like when Mark told his friend Jennifer, Mark was telling me that Jennifer said, oh, I don't like it, but if that's what you want, maybe that's not truly who you are. You know, and I said to Mark, I said, then she didn't accept it. And he said, well, I think she accepted it. She just said that, and he told her that he feels he was born with it. And she said, no, I don't believe that. I think it's your choice that that's what you want. And I said, and I told Mark, I said, you know, I hate when people say that, because if I felt that was my choice, I don't think that would have been the first choice I would have picked. And it's not to say that I'm ashamed of being gay. What it is that because of what society has done or has laid the rules for us, I don't really think I would have chose to be gay. I wouldn't. Why would I want to be gay and have to deal with what we go through?
Exactly. And that's why I explain to my folks now, and they totally believe that it's like hereditary, genetic, or whatever, that it's not a choice. You know,
they do believe it now?
Oh, yeah. They totally
do. I believe it's. I don't know if it's hereditary. I do believe it's something. It's a gene or it's something.
Right.
I don't care what people say. You do not choose.
Uh-uh.
I've known since I was, probably, I can remember 4 or 5 years old.
I remember that.
I remember looking at, my uncle was sleeping on the couch in our family room, and he was sleeping there with his boxers on, and his pee-pee fell out of his pants. And I just stood there and stared at it. And I know it was a sexual arousement because I can remember feeling sexually interested. And so I was like 4 years old. So I knew then. You know what you feel inside. You can't. And I don't care what anybody says. If 4 years old I chose that, that I liked what I saw, I don't think so. I don't think I knew at 4 years old that I could actually just say, oh, wow, I want to play with this guy. You know, I don't think so. And if they say things like, oh, when I was maybe 7, I slept with my cousin Brody, who was probably 12, 13 at the time, and I slept with him. No, he was 16. Shared a bed with him, and he started fondling me. And I enjoyed it, and I fondled him back. And I was like 7 years old. And I don't say that he did it to me, he molested me or raped me, as people are saying now, the older uncle. Generally, I think these kids, not saying adults should have been more responsible, my 16-year-old cousin should have been more responsible and not played with a 7-year-old child, but he did. But I'm not going to turn around and tell my aunt, well, gee, your son molested me as a child. No.
He's not gay.
Well, we don't know. Actually, I think he is. He brought home a drag queen for Christmas last year. So.
Oh, yeah.
But at the time, no, he had, like when he turned 22, he got married and had kids and stuff. He has his kids, which doesn't mean anything. There are a lot of fags with kids. But he just is very, that was what happened to me. And I don't blame my cousin. It was just another awakening experience for me. I mean, there were several experiences when I was growing up. I mean, I remember watching one of our neighbors who was taking a shower, and you could see right through his bedroom, and he got out and he was naked. And I remember watching, and I remember being mesmerized by his body. I was never really that mesmerized by a female's body as I was by a male's body. And so that's why I don't understand where they come up with this of, it's your choice. It's not. I know that that's what I felt.
I remember when I was like probably 3 or 4, and I was wrestling. I remember wrestling on the floor with my brothers and being around. Just like goofing around and stuff like that. And then I think the experience when I was younger and my older brothers had friends over. I remember they'd come over, these friends, these guys, and I would just be like in lust for these guys. I mean, I must have been like 9 or 10, and I was just like idolizing these guys, like, oh my God, wow. I remember I would like imagine like if I could have them in my bedroom.
See, yeah.
You know, as if they were like a toy or something.
That was my older brother, because my older brother played football at Purdue, and I used to go to games, and I followed him around. He'd take me for weekends, and then I'd get to sit in the locker room, and these guys would, like, tickle me and hug me, and I was just a little kid, because I was probably about 10 at the time, 10, 11, and they just thought I was the nicest little boy, and I just had, and I knew I was always sexually aroused by it, and you know these things, and you know it's inside of you, and... Mm. You know, what do you do? And I know my brother, who lives in Dallas, the one that played football at Purdue, he knew it. He knew, especially after Purdue, because when I left California, I didn't come back here first. I actually went to Dallas because my brother's like, come and stay with me. Things will work out, and you can look for a job down here. And so we flew to Dallas and went to my brother's house and banged on the door and said, I want to see him. We need to talk. And my brother's like, this is really odd for two friends to be this emotionally attached. And I was like crying all the time. And like when Dan came, I started crying and I was just like, just tell him to leave me alone. Just get him out of here. And blah, blah, blah. And
oh my God.
Now you tell me your family doesn't realize now what is wrong that two friends are
having a
thing. They're fighting each other. The one guy standing outside the house at midnight screaming, let me talk to him. Let me talk to him. It is a little weird, you know? So yeah, and my brother had met him because we went down there on a vacation, a spring break once, and he thought he was really cool and stuff, so he really liked him a lot until that episode, and then I haven't spoke to my brother, to be honest with you, since.
Really? Yeah. Why? Was he, like, upset?
No, I think I'm afraid. Oh. I'm afraid that he's going to come right out and ask me about it, and what happened was I ended up leaving Dallas and coming back to Wisconsin like a week later.
Doesn't he come up here for holidays or something?
I won't go home when he's here.
Are you serious?
I won't go to Indiana. See, I don't have any family in Wisconsin. My family's all in Indiana. So when he comes home, like if I know he's coming home for Thanksgiving, I won't go home. He did call me one time because he needed me to sign a property agreement. Some property we own jointly. There's eight of us that my grandparents left us, and he needed to borrow money against it. So he called and left me a message. I wasn't home, I was working. And he said, gave me his number and told me to call him back. And I called my sister and said, fine, tell him to send me the paper and I'll sign it. And I never talked to him. So I haven't talked to my brother. See, I've been in Milwaukee for 10 years. So about 10 and a half years.
Wow, how old is he?
He's a lot older than I am, because if I was 10 and he was 19, so he's 9 years older than me. So he's older, he's in his 40s.
But you think it's more that you're just...
Well, now I'm going to tell him. I keep telling myself every month, call him and just tell him, because I want to go to Dallas and I miss my brother. He was my best friend. And he knows. He knows. But I just couldn't just come right out and tell him then. I couldn't tell him. Well, there was more to it than that. He came to the house. He had a gun. They had to call the police.
A gun?
Yes. And he's standing outside the house saying, I'm gonna kill myself if you don't talk to me, just tell me. And there was just so much to the soul.
This is the guy who doesn't know he's gay. Or yes. Isn't sure if he's gay.
Yeah. Who's now in the Air Force and lives in South Carolina. So.
Wait a second. I thought this one guy was married.
Who?
He's married, right?
That's Kevin.
Oh, I didn't know Kevin.
No, Kevin's the other guy that was also a frat that I knew in college. The one that I told.
Oh, those frat boys are too much.
I know. He was the one that I told that if he had told me he loved me, I would have never left him and moved with him. I would have stuck with him. I would have never, because I never really, like I said, Dean was my friend, and I knew Dean was my friend. And I was in love with Kevin when I was in college. And to this day, if Pat wasn't here and Kevin wasn't married to a woman, I would be with Kevin. He was probably the best sexual partner I could ever imagine. And we never had sex. He's the only person I know who kissed me. When he kissed me, I just came right on the spot.
You never had sex?
No. You know, not the booty dance.
Wow.
We had...
You had oral sex.
Oral sex. But he was just... Ugh. And fine. And I don't like men with, like, auburn hair. But he had auburn hair and these turquoise eyes, and he was, like, 6 foot and just, ugh. And he still is. I was just like, he is to die for. I thought, why? I was so young, man. It's so stupid. He was the one that blamed me. He wouldn't speak to me for 6 months. The first time we messed around, we were drunk. And we messed around. And he wouldn't speak to me for 6 months and said it was my fault that he knows he's not gay. But yet he was the one that grabbed me and threw me on the floor.
He confronted you and said that to you?
I called him the next day after it had happened. And he said, I don't want to talk to you. You took advantage of me when I was drunk. But he's the one that grabbed me, kissed me, took my underwear off, and he started it. You know, I knew what I was about. I didn't get into it, but I knew.
Right.
And he was the one. That was the first experience. And then the second experience, he didn't speak to me for 3 months because he blamed me for that. And then the third experience he blamed me for, he's been blaming me for all of his experiences up until, when I got serious, like the year after, and I was still kind of seeing Kevin. I went out to Washington and stuff, and that's when he stopped blaming me. Now, he calls me and tells me that he wants to be with me. And he called me last week and said he wanted to be with me.
You're kidding.
No, but he's married to me. And I keep telling him, get out of that relationship before you have children. Just get out of it. Don't carry any baggage with you. Always my biggest theory, don't carry any excess baggage with you. And he loves her, but what he doesn't know how to separate is, he loves her, but he's not in love with her. You know what I mean?
He just... Right. Oh, yeah, you can love a person, but you're not in love with them. It's not sexual.
Yeah. And that's really hard, because you find it very difficult to love someone, and when you tell someone you love them, they misunderstand what love is all about, so... I don't know, but I think if there was ever anybody, I truly, but he, everybody has that one person who breaks their heart, and he broke my heart, just incredibly, because I wasn't really in love with his looks. I've never met anybody who, when they touched you, just, there was so much warmth, and so much, just, there was so much energy there, that, I mean.
So you've kept in contact with him?
Yes, since 19, yeah.
Amazing.
I've been here for all this time.
Or does he just call, or you call? And
no, he calls me. I can't call him.
Oh.
Actually, I can, because his wife knows that we're friends. But I don't choose to call him. He used to travel around the country. They used to live in California. Now they live somewhere. They just moved, because his wife got a new job. He quit his job for her job, because she moved to California for them, because they were living in Washington, D.C. So he used to travel all over the world. Well, whenever he'd come to Wisconsin for the Dairy Expo, or he'd come here, go to Chicago for some reason, to take businessmen around, what he did was, he took farmers around from around different parts of the world so that they can look at farms. So his travel a lot of times was in Wisconsin, because of the farms here. They would see how things were done, and he took them around the world, you know, doing this, and he traveled all over the world. See, that's why I think he now is getting to this point where he's with Kevin all the time. And before, Kevin traveled like 90% of the year. He was gone. I mean, Kevin was gone 90% of the year. So now he's with Kevin every day, and it's been this way for the last 3 or 4 months. And I think...
Oh, that's all? The last 3 or 4 months?
They've been married 6 years. He just stopped traveling. And I think now it's just like, I don't know if this is for me, I don't know if this is right. And he's starting to call me, and he's starting to tell me how much he cares for me and how he has feelings for me. And I know that you're with me. And I'm just like, and I'm not giving up my life for you. He asked me once right out of college when he moved to Washington, D.C., when I came back from California and I was here and I just started working, he asked me to move to Washington to be with him. That was when he was on the peak of thinking, maybe I am gay. And I said, well, why don't I come out there first and we'll see. So I went out there, and he goes, well, yeah, you can move out here and get your own apartment, whereas he owned a 3-bedroom house and lived by himself. And I'm like, okay, can I afford to move out here and get an apartment until I find... He never said move in here with me until you find a place or whatever. It was just like... And then he wanted this still straight life and this and that and another. So now he claims bisexuality, but he's moving closer, I think, to steps of being gay, because when he was talking to me on the phone last week, he was telling me how much he still loved me, and he doesn't know what to do about this whole situation.
How could he really love you, though? He doesn't know you that much.
He doesn't know me, because in the last 10 years, we talked to each other maybe once a month.
Well, that's quite a bit, though.
And actually, maybe not even that. Sometimes it's every other month. When he was traveling around the world, like he went to Germany for 6 weeks, and he sent me his freaking flyer ticket. because he was there training to speak, learning to speak German on a 6-week course, and he sent me a free to come and spend a week with him, and I said no. But at that time, I had been with him like 4 years, and I was just like, I don't think so. You're not going to use me for your little sex thing for that week, and then that's it. So, I mean, I love him. I really do, but I also don't trust him. I don't think any man who is as sexual as he is and traveled as much as he did could stay celibate or stay committed to his wife.
Right.
I mean, when I saw him once in Chicago, I went to Chicago about 5 years ago, and he was in Chicago in this really nice hotel, and he said, why don't you come, and, you know, I'm free Saturday and Sunday, why don't you come? And I said, fine. So I took the train to Chicago on Saturday, and I thought, okay, no big deal, he'll have a room with 2 double beds. No, it was a king-size bed. So I thought, okay, no big deal, I took a sleeping bag just in case. So here I am taking my sleeping bag, I roll it out on the floor, and he goes, well, you don't have to worry, you can share this bed with me, I love him. And no, I take that back. It was more than 5 years ago, because he's been married to King for 6 years this coming May. No, 7 years this coming May. So it was more than 6 years ago, because it was when he asked me to marry him. It was right around Christmas time. So it's been about 6.5 years. So he asked me to marry him, and he says, I really love her, I'm going to marry her, and blah, 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 this. So I get in the bed. I thought, fine, no big deal. I'm wearing my T-shirt, my underwear. So I get in the bed, and in the morning I wake up, and here he is, fondling me. So I'm like, okay, so do you leave, or what do you do? You know, so I'm like, he goes, just don't say anything. And I said, this isn't right. You don't really want to be with me. You just want the sexual part. And I said, that's all there is to it, and I just can't do this. And he accepted it. And I don't know, he'll always ask me, well, how's Paul? How is your sex life with Paul? Are you happy with Paul? You know, do you still miss me? And I'm like, well, Kim, I haven't told you I missed you in years. What are you talking about? You know, it's like, excuse me.
Is he like full of himself or what?
And he's another one too. He knows he's good looking. He's another one. When we were in college, he knew it. And what really gets me is that I think the reason I always attracted, like I attracted a lot of football players, is people always got the impression I was gay. So if they knew you were gay and they wanted some experience and they didn't want to approach another, say, man in your frat, and they kind of thought you were gay and nobody really wanted to, like, say it, they would approach me. So I always got all the good-looking ones to always, like, come after me. And that's how I ended up with Damon, how I ended up with Damon. And I realized that, you know, I always think, well, especially Damon, I mean, he was just like, oh, just perfect. Well, Damon was too, but Damon, a lot of people don't like auburn hair or reddish-brown hair. They don't care for it. But Damon just was just a beautiful man. They both were, but I find that that's what happens in these fraternities, is you find a man who is curious about his sexuality, and if they find someone who they question, okay, is he gay or isn't he gay, then they will tend to go after you a little bit faster. So then you think, okay, you see some of these guys in the bars, and you think, like, I was out at the Triangle, and I saw this guy, he was so good looking, I'm like, how the hell did he end up with that thing? And then I thought, you know, I bet you he's just out, and he was from Marquette, and he was just finding out, and he met this guy, and that's why he was out with them. You know, I mean.
Who was this?
This was a while back. This was.
Were they young?
Yeah. Well, they were young. The one guy in particular was young. The guy that was from Marquette was probably, I wouldn't think he would be more than 20, 21. He shouldn't have been in the Triangle if you want to know the truth. So, but no, he was just very nice.